But what happens when the college courses are free or nearly free? John Marcus of the nonpartisan and nonprofit education news site, The Hechinger Report, is with us in the studio. And John, you're writing about just that, the growth of free or cheap courses online. But before we get to that, you cover education. What's your reaction on the president's proposals?
Well, as Tamar Lewin said, universities fight tooth and nail against proposals of this nature. And it's not the first time this one in particular has come up at the federal level. But the government is now spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 billion on Pell Grants. That's direct grants, not loans, for university students. And some critics of increases in tuition believe that the more the government spends for this, the more entitled universities feel to increase their costs. It is an important leverage that the government has.
And you're also reporting that states are already doing things to try to bring down the cost of education. Tell us briefly about some of those.
Much more likely than any changes occurring at the federal level are changes that are occurring at the state level relative to public universities. And these are underway in many states already: South Carolina, Tennessee, Ohio, Illinois. They have instituted what's called performance-based funding. And this is a re-emerging phenomenon that's been going on over the last few months, and you're going to see it over the next few years, whereby universities are funded based on outcomes. Currently, most public universities are funded by the states based on enrollment. So if you recruit a certain number of students, that's the basis of your budget. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense because a lot of those kids basically don't finish and they don't graduate, which is the outcome, as the way that most other products and commodities in our society are rewarded are, you know, did you succeed? So these states are now allocating budgets based on what proportion of those students graduate, how many are retained one year to the next, how much does the university have an impact, a positive impact on the economy, and measures such as that. Those are very popular these days and much more likely to be implemented.
Well, now let's talk about what's new now, this new free and nearly free courses that's really challenging the traditional model of higher education. Explain it for us.
Well, this is another reaction to this extraordinary price sensitivity to these very, very high costs of higher education. There's a great deal of material now online that's publicly available for free. It's part of what's called the open courseware movement that was pioneered in the United States in 2002 by MIT and also has been underway for even longer than that in the rest of the world, making courseware available, including even videos of lectures by very prestigious academics for people who might not otherwise have access to universities. In the last 2 years, a number of startups with very prestigious backing by organizations like the Hewlett Foundation and Mozilla, which runs the Firefox browser, have begun to assemble that material into curricula and teach it as if you are studying toward a degree using free online content. They've had very, very small numbers of Americans enroll in these because they are almost impossible to transfer credit. And if you can't transfer the credit from a free online course to a traditional university,
you don't get a degree.
You can't earn a degree. And if you can't earn a degree, then an employer is not going to look at you.
Right. Well, just to be clear, though, you're not talking about for-profit online colleges that we've seen explosive growth in, like the University of Phoenix. You're talking about places like Peer-to-Peer University, also called P2PU, and the University of the People that sort of stack these free courses together to create a degree?
Yes, that's right. These private for-profits actually cost as much or more than traditional nonprofit brick-and-mortar universities. The reason that they're very popular is they teach courses at night, on the weekends, and close to where their students live, which is a model that, frankly, traditional nonprofits might consider emulating. The last time you've been on a university campus on Friday, I defy you to find a class in session. What these not-for-profits are doing is aggregating this free online material, and the milestone moment we've arrived at in the last few months and again in the next few months is that they've come up with a new kind of credential to do an end run around the university's monopoly on academic credit. They've created things like electronic portfolios, which University of the People will introduce next month, and something called badges, just like the Boy Scouts get, which should purportedly show that you've successfully completed a free online course. And you can take an aggregation of these badges to an employer and say, look what I've learned.
And some employers are accepting those. But who's grading these courses? Who's certifying that you've actually done the work to a certain degree?
Well, the biggest new entrant into this field is MITx, which is an initiative announced last month by MIT, wherein they take all of their online material and they allow you to take the material and then prove that you've completed it. And they will give you, well, they will sell you a completion certificate. MITx has not yet explained exactly how they'll determine that you've successfully completed the course. In other words, how they'll grade you. But once they manage to figure that out, if you've taken a bunch of MIT courses and you've completed them and MIT has certified that you've completed them, and you take those to an employer as opposed to some expensive private university somewhere, you're in. An employer doesn't care.
Well, what about conventional colleges and universities? There must be a lot of pushback to this idea.
Huge amount of pushback. The universities have used their control of academic credits to keep these programs from expanding. And since they won't take these credits, University of the People, for example, has enrolled 1,100 students in 2 years. Even the existing traditional nonprofits have online courses. They have 6 million students registered for online courses. They have to pay for those courses. But compared to that, these startups have in the few hundreds and thousands. So it's still really at the very early stages.
But just briefly, do you think that it's business and their acceptance of these degrees that may determine the success of this new venture?
I think that universities have been very slow to understand the reality that they are, as you referred to them earlier, industries, and that they are selling a commodity and that people are no longer willing to pay as much as they want to charge. So, yes, I think that these things have terrific potential.
John Marcus of the nonpartisan and nonprofit education news site, The Hechinger Report. John, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Just ahead, the BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse reports on human rights abuse allegations in Libya. Back in a minute, here and now.